11th time, he brings people in. He says, I'll pay you. And he goes out at the 11th hour. He brings people in. He says, I'll pay you for the work you do. But, you know, and at the end of that story, you hear all the people grumbling. Well, the people that have worked there all day, well, they're mad because the people that have worked as much, well, they get as much as they do. And the people that worked at the end of the day, well, they get as much. And we really fixate on that aspect. And that's a very important point to be taught in that parable, is that, you know, we just need to be thankful that God is paying, you know, that we get to be in His kingdom, that we get to be a part of His salvation, as Isaiah 25 calls it. Did you catch that at the end of Frank's reading? It's His salvation. We get to be a part of that. But you know what else that parable teaches us is the fullness, purpose. And don't we love having something to do, having something to be a part of? The purpose, the fullness of the life in the kingdom. There's fullness to that life. There's otherness to the life connected with God. There's something bigger than what we can see. In Job chapter 42, let me find my scriptures here. In Job 42, 2 through 6. Actually, I just have verse 5 up there, but let me read verse 2 through 6. I know that you can do all things. Remember the context of Job's life. This is at the very end of the book that he wrote, chronicling all of the circumstances of his life. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Who is it that obscures my counsel with knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. And then Job says, I love this verse, Job 42 and verse 5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Love that. Job, in that verse, he explains to me, anyway, the otherness of being connected with God. He says, you know, I had an idea about God, but then I experienced you, and now I know. Now I know of the otherness, the spirituality of really, truly trusting God. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Verse 6 of that same chapter, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. You see, we have an opportunity to get plugged into God, to get connected, to have His experience be our experience, to have His life be our life. And there's an otherness to it. There's something bigger than us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 7 explain this. It says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? That verse right there explains the otherness. There's more than just the physical life that, you know, we have things happen in our life. We have circumstances that we may or may not like, and we automatically get either disappointed, or we automatically get angry. We automatically, you know, start to wonder. And God is saying, you know, the life connected with me has an otherness to it. And I'm not so worried about you physically as I am spiritually. And all of these things have an opportunity to make you into the person that God wants you to be. So not only is there a fullness to that life connected, not only is there an otherness to it, but it's exciting. There is an excitement to the life God has planned. There's an excitement to the life connected with God. There is, anybody can be like everybody. I mean, anybody can just have the same old experience. But it's that excitement that is living with God. I mean, think about David and the giant. David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Jonathan and his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14. Daniel in the den of lions in Daniel 6. Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And you think about, whoa, man, those are some scary situations. Well, A, they all made it through. And B, what a story. What a life. I don't know of any of us that would not love to be able to tell our kids and have them pass along the adventure that was the life that we spent in service to God. all the times you can tell of the mission trips and the people that you talk to about the Lord and the lives that were changed because of the initiative, because of the connection that you had. See, we have to allow our ideas and our understandings about God to be stretched. You see, we have to have a little eye, big God. We have to realize that there is more. And that's the beginning of that personal relationship. And that balance, that balancing act, what happens when we understand God, when we have that personal relationship with God and that connection, it balances our expectations. We understand the otherness. We understand that things aren't always as they seem, that they're not always what we want them to be, but God's got a point and a purpose, and He's making us into who He wants us to be. Second result of this connection is just the effect, the peace. The effect of the life connected to God is a peace. And Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says that there is a peace in God which transcends all understanding. And it will guard our hearts in Christ. I don't know about everyone, but man, peace is that's such a desired characteristic of life. Just to know that everything's going to be fine. That everything's going to work out. That all of the circumstances that happen, all of the confusing things, the illnesses or the economy or the wars or the rumors of war, wouldn't you love to just have an inner peace about those things? Life connected to God is all about peace. All about understanding that there's something that I'm connected to that's bigger than me, that's in control of all this. You'll see me through to the end. You see, there is a peace when our original community is restored. Now think about that. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Let us make man in our image. See, there's an original community. And then this thing happens in chapter 3 of Genesis where we fall, we sin, we fall short of God's glory, and that community is broken. And so now our experience is trying to figure out what it is about us that's broken, what it is about us that's missing, what it is that we can get connected to restore the original community. See, when our lives are made full by God, we don't have to fill them because of the void left from sin. There's peace. I don't have to run around trying to figure anything out. God's got it all under control. See, there's peace in that otherness. See, there must be a willingness and a readiness to know God more. We're free to embrace the concept of spirituality. When we're connected with God and we understand His otherness, then what happens physically isn't the end all be all of my life, and I can embrace a spiritual life. I can talk spiritual talk. I can understand spiritual things. It's a peaceful effect of that connection. A connection with God clears our vision and illuminates the truth of the matter. We, like Hebrews was saying, we can endure hardships because we understand, and there is a peace at knowing that I'm God's child. This that's happening to me right now is in an attempt of my God to make me more like Him. I'm God's son. I am God's daughter. Isn't there a peace in that, knowing that our Heavenly Father has us taken care of? The last thing I want us to see, the last result of this connection, is the future of connecting. You see, one of the things about this kind of technology right here is it's always moving, it's always changing. You know, these things started out about that big. Now they're that big, and they're even smaller than this. The technology is always changing. There's always a future in it. The fact of the matter is that there's a future in our connecting, and we understand that when we understand God. And in Psalms 16, 9 through 11, let me find that one real quick. Where did my scriptures go, guys? Oh, there it is. Psalm 16, 7 through 11. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, the fact is that we last forever. There is an eternal future in being connected with God. And right now, what we experience, this life is just the beginning. John 14:1-4, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If we're not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. This is the beginning. We are made eternally to see, to experience, to be with God forever. This is just the beginning. God's technology is limitless. God never becomes obsolete. In Isaiah 25:1-9, the one thing I want to key on is in verse 9. Surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. It was then, it is now, and it will be forever. God never is obsolete. His salvation is from the beginning to the end. We have to understand that life will not always be as we know it. We were made to be eternal. We were made to be with Him forever. We are made to have that intimate and immediate connection with God. The good news is that the future is now. We can have every benefit of that connection right now, right here, as we live. We can have the otherness. We can have the fullness. We can have the excitement. We don't have to live. We're not relegated to live just a plain, ordinary, uneventful life like all those who are outside of Christ will live. We can have the adventure and the connection and the peace and all that comes with it right now. And the good news is that we cannot fully comprehend what all is in store. And that's a good thing. See, any God that we can completely and totally figure out, well, He's not God at all. He's certainly not God at all. And embrace the adventure, realize the effects, and seize the future. That's what I want us to do as a congregation through the rest of this sermon series as we embark on becoming connected with God. As we embark on becoming a group of people that understand how big God is. That's the question. How big is our God? How big is the God that we serve? Is He a God that we can just put away and deal with on our terms? Or is He immediate and instant and always with us, making decisions and calling the shots and giving us all that He has? How big is our God? And do we long for a connection with the true and living God that's beyond anything we've ever experienced? Because the fact of the matter is that God says if we will draw near to Him, if we will get connected with Him, and He will connect right back with us. So the challenge today is to get connected. To go through the next 8 weeks or so. We've got a couple of other ones thrown in there for the holidays and Friends Day, so forth and so on. But over the study of this concept of I, God, this God who wants to be connected with us, will we do that? And will we allow Him to change our life? The very first step in that is understanding that He is our God. He is our Creator. And we are not Him. We don't hold the keys to our own salvation. And this morning, if there is a change that needs to happen, if there's a connection that needs to be made, if you need to confess His name, to be baptized, to have all of your sins, past, present, and future, washed away, that's available. That connection is available. All it takes is confessing His name as Lord and Savior, putting Him on in baptism, and being eternally connected with the true and living God. If that is your need, if you have another need, if you've had that and lost it and you want to come back, if you've walked away from Him and you want to come back to Him, today can be that day. Whatever your need is, would you let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.